Whenever the free and unlimited expression of life and love, that is, the experience of unity and oneness with all things and with every sentient being, is prohibited or limited by any circumstance or condition, the soul, which is joy itself, is not fully expressed. Joy not fully expressed is the feeling that you call sadness.
I'm confused here. How can a thing be one thing if it's another? How can a thing be cold if its essence is hot? How can the soul be sad if its essence is joy?
You misunderstand the nature of the universe. You are still seeing things as separate. Hot and cold are not separate from each other. Nothing is. There is nothing in the universe that is separate from anything else. Hot and cold are, therefore, the same thing in varying degrees. So, too, are sadness and joy.
What a terrific insight. I never thought of it that way. Sadness and joy are just two names. They're words we've used to describe different levels of the same energy.
Different expressions of the universal force, yes. And that is why these two feelings can be experienced in the same moment. Can you imagine such a thing?
Yes, I can. I have felt sadness and joy at the same time.
Of course you have. It's not unusual at all.
The television show MASH was a perfect example of this kind of juxtaposition. And more recently, that extraordinary motion picture, remember, Life is Beautiful?
Yes, these are incredible examples of how laughter heals, of how sadness and joy can intermingle.
This is the life energy itself, this flow that you call sadness, joy.
This energy can be expressed in a way that you call joy at any time. That is because the energy of life can be controlled. Like turning a thermostat from cold to hot, you can speed up the vibration of life energy from sadness to joy. And I tell you this, if you carry joy in your heart, you can heal any moment.
But how do you carry joy in your heart? How do you get it there if it's not there?
It is there.
Some people do not experience that.
They do not know joy's secret.
What is the secret?
You cannot feel joy until you let it out.
How do you let it out if you're not feeling it?
Help another to feel it.
Release the joy that is inside of another, and you release the joy that is inside of you.
Some people don't know how to do that. That's a huge statement. They don't know what that looks like.
It can be done with something as simple as a smile or a compliment. Or a loving glance. And it can be accomplished with something as elegant as making love. With these devices, can you release joy in another, and with many more?
With a song, or a dance, or the stroke of a brush, or the molding of clay, or the rhyming of words. With the holding of hands, or the meeting of minds, or the partnering of souls. With the mutual creation of anything good and lovely and useful. With all these devices, can you release another's joy, and with many more?
With the sharing of a feeling, the telling of a truth, the ending of anger, the healing of judgment, with the willingness to listen and the willingness to speak, with the decision to forgive and the choice to release, with the commitment to give and the grace to receive.
I tell you, there are 1,000 ways to release the joy in the heart of another. Nay, 1,000 times 1,000. And in the moment you decide to do so, you will know how.
You're right. I know you're right. It can be done, even on someone's deathbed.
I sent you a great teacher to show you that.
Yes, Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I actually got to meet her, much less work on her staff. I have some more questions on this business of joyfulness, however.
Go ahead.
Well, you said that the way to feel joyful is to cause another to feel joyful.
That's right.
So how do I feel joyful when there's no one else around?
Mm-hmm.
There's always a way to contribute to life, even when you are alone.
Oh.
Sometimes, especially when you are alone. For instance, you do your best writing when you are alone.
Oh, thank you very much for the compliment, but what if you're not a writer? Supposing you're not an artist, a poet or a composer, or someone who creates in solitude. Supposing you're just a regular person with a regular job, a homemaker perhaps, or a dentist, and now all of a sudden you're alone. Maybe you're a retired priest living in the retired priest's home, and your time for contributing to the lives of others seems over. or actually a retired anything. Retirement is often a time of depression, you know, for people who sometimes feel their self-worth slipping, their usefulness reduced, and sometimes they feel themselves abandoned. And it isn't just people in retirement. There are others, people who are ill, who are shut in, who for many reasons do not and cannot have much of a sense of life beyond themselves. Then there are ordinary, everyday folks who do just fine when they're active and with other people because they do as you say, they bring joy to others. But even they have times when they're by themselves, alone with their thoughts, with no one else around, no obvious way to bring joy to others. Guess what I'm asking is, how do you find joy inside yourself? Isn't this idea of finding joy by bringing joy to others a little dangerous? Isn't it a little bit of a trap? Couldn't it lead to the creation of little martyrs? People who feel that the only way they can deserve happiness is to make others happy?
Those are good questions. Those are very good observations and good questions.
And they went on forever, too. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did.
What are the answers?
First, let's clarify something. There is no time that you are ever alone. I am always with you, and you are always with me. That's number one. And it's an important place to begin because it changes everything. If you think you are really alone, it could be devastating. Just the thought of total aloneness itself without anything else going on could be devastating. That's because the very nature of the soul is unity and oneness with all that is. And if it appears that there is nothing and no one else, then an individual could feel just that, individual, and not one with anything else at all. And that would be devastating, because it violates your deepest sense of who you are. So it is important to understand that, in fact, you are never alone, and that aloneness is impossible.
Well, people who have been prisoners of war in solitary confinement, or shut-ins, who suffer debilitating strokes and are trapped in their own minds, might disagree with you. I know I'm using extreme examples, but I'm saying that there are cases when aloneness would very much be possible.
You can create the illusion of aloneness, yet the experience of something does not make it a reality.
I am always with you, whether you know it or not.
Yet if we don't know it, then you may as well not be with us, because the effect for us is the same.
I agree. Therefore, to change the effect, know that I am with you, always, even unto the end of time.
How can I know this if I don't know it? Do you understand the question?
Yes, and the answer is that it is possible for you to know and yet not know that you know.
Could you explain that further, please?
In life, there appear to be those who do not know and who do not know that they do not know. They are as children. Nurture them.
Then there appear to be those who do not know and who know that they do not know. They are willing. Teach them.
Then there appear to be those who do not know, but who think that they know. They are dangerous. Avoid them.
Then there appear to be those who know, but who do not know that they know. They are asleep. Wake them.
Then there appear to be those who know, but who pretend that they do not know. They are actors. Enjoy them.
Then there appear to be those who know and who know that they know. Do not follow them. For if they know that they know, they would not have you follow them. Yet listen very carefully to what they have to say, for they will remind you of what you know. Indeed, that is why they have been sent to you. That is why you have called them to you.
If a person knows, why would he pretend that he does not know? Who would do that?
Nearly everybody. At one time or another, nearly everybody.
But why?
Because you all love the drama so much. You have created an entire world of your illusion, a kingdom in which you can reign. And you have become the drama king and the drama queen.
Why would I want the drama rather than an end to the drama?
Because it is in the deliciousness of the drama that you get to play out at the highest level and with the greatest intensity all the various versions of who you are. And may then select who you choose to be.
Because it is juicy.
Oh, you're kidding. Isn't there an easier way?
Well, of course there is. And you will ultimately choose that the moment you realize that all the drama isn't necessary. Yet sometimes you will continue to use drama to remind yourself and to instruct others.
All wisdom teachers do this.
what are they reminding and instructing about?
The illusion. They are reminding themselves and instructing others that all of life is an illusion, that it has a purpose, and that once you know its purpose, you can live within the illusion or outside of it at will. You can choose to experience the illusion and make it real, or you can choose to experience ultimate reality in any given moment.
How? How could I experience ultimate reality in any given moment?
Be still and know that I am God.
I mean that literally. Be still.
That is how you will know that I am God and that I am always with you. That is how you will know that you are one with me. That is how you will meet the Creator inside of you. If you have come to know me, to trust me, to love me, and to embrace me, if you have taken the steps to having a friendship with God, then you will never doubt that I am with you always and always.
So as I've said before, embrace me. Spend a few moments each day embracing your experience of me. Do this now, when you do not have to, when life circumstances do not seem to require you to. Now, when it seems that you do not even have time to. Now, when you are not feeling alone, so that when you are alone, you will know that you are not. Cultivate the habit of joining me in divine connection once each day. I've already given you directions on one way that you may do this. There are other ways, many ways. God is not limited, and neither are the ways to reach God. Once you have truly embraced God, once you have made that divine connection, you will never want to lose it, for it will bring you the greatest joy you ever had.
This joy is what I am and what you are. It is life itself expressing at the highest vibration. It is supraconsciousness. It is at this level of vibration that creation occurs.
You might even say it's the creation vibration.
Yes, it is. That it is, exactly.
I'm sorry, but I thought the joy was something that you could only feel when you're giving it away. How can you feel this joy if you're simply being alone with yourself, connecting only with the God within?
Only? Did you say only?
I tell you, you are connecting with all that is.
You're not being alone with yourself, and you never can be. It's not possible. And when you actually feel your eternal connection with the God within, you are giving away joy. You are giving it to me. For my joy is to be one with you. And my greatest joy is for you to know it.
So I bring joy to you when I let you bring joy to me?
Has there ever been a more perfect description of love?
No.
And is love not what God is? What we are?
Yes.
Good. Very good. You're putting it all together now. You're getting it. You're preparing again, as you have been doing during so much of your life. You are a messenger. You and many others like you, who are coming to these same understandings with you. Some through this dialogue, some in ways uniquely their own, all toward the same end, to no longer be a seeker, but a bringer of the light. Soon you will all speak with one voice.
The role of messenger is given to everyone in truth. You all send a message to the world about life and how it is and about God. What is the message you have been sending? What is the message you now choose to send? Is it time for a new gospel?
Yes, yes, it is. But I sometimes feel so alone in this. Even as I accept the truth that I am never really alone, I wonder, how does that change things when I feel alone? If I'm feeling all alone, and I'm not feeling very much joy, what do I do?
What you can do if you are imagining that you are alone is to come to me.
Come to me in the depths of your soul. Talk to me from your heart. Companion with me in your mind. I will be with you and you will know it.
If you have been making daily contact with me, this will be easier. Yet even if you have not, I will not fail you, but be with you the moment you call to me. For this is my promise. Even before you
call my name, I will be there. That is because I am always there, and your very decision to call my name merely elevates your awareness of me.
Once you are aware of me, your sadness will leave you, For sadness and God cannot exist in the same place, because God is life energy, turned up as high as it will go. And sadness is life energy turned down. Therefore, when I come to you, do not turn me down.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. There you go again, putting things in amazing ways so that we can just get them. But I don't think people do that, do they? I don't think people actually turn you down.
Every time you have a hunch about something and ignore it, you turn me down. Every time you receive an offer to put an end to bad feelings or cease a conflict and ignore it, you turn me down. Every time you do not return the smile of a stranger, walk under the awesome wonder of a night sky and don't look up, pass a flower bed without stopping to behold its beauty,
you turn me down. Every time you hear my voice or feel the presence of a departed loved one and say it's just your imagination, you turn me down. Every time you feel love for another in your soul or feel a song in your heart or see a grand vision in your mind and do nothing about it, you turn me down.
Every time you find yourself reading just the right book or hearing just the right sermon or watching just the right movie or running into just the right friend at just the right time in your life and write it off to coincidence or serendipity or luck, you turn me down.
And I tell you this, before the cock crows three times, some of you will deny me.